energies. Even though we already have a test, but still, we do need to continue to study the scripture, because this is a whole life learning process, never end. Okay, so yesterday we stopped at the chaos of the marriage. In chapter 6, we see how the son of God saw the daughter of the man, and then they just pick up whoever they want and then get married. And at the end, we see how the descendants, or indeed, is a flesh only. They lost the integrity, the faith in this one true God. So, and then end up it brought God's great judgment. And this, we can see in the Bible, the terrible destruction by the flood. So, as a young adult in TJC, what is your criteria for picking your spouse? Because sooner or later you will face this big decision, because you pick up what you want, or you consider what is God's will. What you want, not necessarily be the best. But God's arrangement will be perfect. So that's for your consideration. Before this great destruction comes, God gave all the people the grace period of time. So if you look at the chapter 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So my spirit shall not strive with man forever. Another translation is my spirit will not abide in man forever. So yet his days shall be 120 years. So this 120 years could be the grace period of time. Because that's how God prepared Noah to build the ark. So from this action, the saying of God, we can see God actually give everybody a choice. Once they saw the ark being built, or they can observe the whole process, right? How Noah is building the ark. At the same time, we also understand Noah not only building, but actually he also go out to preach about the great destruction. But seems no effect at all. But this 120 years, the time actually is enough for people to think about. Every day, they probably witness how the progress on the ark become more real, right? And then, what is their heart about this warning is decide whether they will survive or not. So God gave man the opportunity to repent, right? To repent. And then God will execute his judgment. This is God's way. God always consider about men. He loves men. He wants to give us opportunity to be saved. So God always give us the grace period of time. So if we have done something wrong, but we probably not experience the punishment or the judgment yet, what will you do? You consider probably this is not a big deal. Or before God takes actions, we repent first. Now we can learn from the Genesis. So in verse 3, it said, man is indeed flesh, only flesh, lost the image of God. They're supposed to be to like righteousness, right? To keep holy, to have heart of God. But end up, man only consider about flesh. So if we look at the Galatians chapter 5, 17, the Holy Spirit against the flesh. So Holy Spirit is to move us to follow the Spirit of God, to pursue the righteousness and holiness. Really love the truth. You know, more consider about God's love, God's grace. So if we insist on following our flesh, and we really become just like a flesh only, right? This is what another description says, a living dead. A living dead. Physically, we are alive, maybe strong, but spiritually, we may actually a dead person. So the Spirit will not strive with man forever, but rather give them up to indulge their fleshly desire. So Romans chapter 1, we read many times already. If we insist in our own way, the Holy Spirit will not strive forever. Just give it up. You decide yourself, then you bear consequence. That's it. So at the end, when we face the judgment, we have no word to say. We cannot argue with God, right? Because this is what you decide. Then it's fair. So in chapter 6, verse 5, the heart of man filled with evil only. Because God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continuing. So you see, in the days of Noah, seems nobody care about Sabbath, right? They don't follow the cycle. This is a routine. 6 days of hard work, and then the 7 days reflect to think about God's creation. But seems people just don't care. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, during the dinner or lunch encouragement, I believe counselor also used this verse to encourage us. Guard our heart. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Please read. Can Brother Sean. Okay, so now the most the most difficult to conquer is our mind. Because we human beings actually is very stubborn. That's why sometimes when you face pressure, you want to fight back, right? Unless your heart say amen, okay, I accept, I will. Otherwise, if out, from outside to force you to do some things, then you tend to resist. Sometimes maybe fight back. But the result and the end result should be, you can consider. The end actually is death. So in every seminar, for those who really want to learn, or they already set a goal for the particular event, then actually no need for someone to push it or to remind, say, you have to do certain things at a certain time. You will do it automatically because you know what you are going to learn. So it depends on our heart, our mind. If our mind really want to submit or obey God's word, then we will do it joyfully. Right? So this is how Holy Spirit actually is working in our heart. So we have to make sure our thought to the obedience of Christ. We want to submit. We just surrender all. We surrender not only our possession, but actually our thought, our heart. We want to follow. Okay? So our behavior actually reflect our mind, whether we really obedient or not. So you see how Bible describes God's sorrow, right? God shows his sorrow in chapter 6, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8, right? So here we have to understand the meaning of the sorrow of God. God's regret was to express his disappointment and sorrow because of man's weakness. God regretted not because of he doesn't know what is going to happen, but actually it shows how God disappointed. Right? God knows everything, so he is omniscient, right? He's omnipresent, right? So he knows everything. He's everywhere. We have to understand this essence of God. So the fall of man was not the original intent of God. God created man for what? Allowed man to share his glory, right? To manage his creation, to rule over all the creatures. So let's suppose man as the God's special creation, supposed to, just like a representative of God on earth, to manage the whole thing. This God's love, and man receives this privilege from God. But God's sorrow toward man manifests that he cares about man, right? If God doesn't care, then what? You die, then you die. Right? So God values man in his heart. We must understand we are very precious in his eyes. So he values every single one of us. So God actually is merciful. We have to understand this is the description about how God cares about man. If we really see through God's heart, we're looking for, say, I want to be like King David, right? He's a king, he's a man after God's heart. Do we have this kind of heart, sense about God's love? God looked upon the earth, and it did. It was corrupt. Right? So all flesh have corrupted their way on the earth. In verse 14. In verse 14. Actually, it's 12. Okay. It's a 6, 12. It's just 12. And in verse 8, start from verse 8, we saw the faint light in darkness. A tiny light, but very bright. Because among all the creation, all the human beings, only one man remained his righteousness. So, in chapter 5, verse 29, Lamech, this is the seed, the descendant of Seth, right? So, there are two Lamech, remember. One is in Cain, in Cain's side. One is in Seth's side. So, Noah, his father, Lamech, he named this son, particular son, Noah, because he already he prophesied about what is going to take place. So he named son Noah because he will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands. So his name carries some meanings. Very profound meanings. So, actually, the name means rest, ansi. So, actually, this rest related to the flood and the ark. So, during the judgment, there is a salvation. The salvation brings rest. So, this son is very special. So, you have to consider Noah, because nowadays, we are all the descendants from Noah, actually. This is the... I want to bring your attention. You see this chart. It's from here. Can I just... Oh, is it over here? This one? Okay. So, we assume. It's a beginning. Here is beginning. Zero. Adam, whole life, 930. At 130, he begot Seth, okay, his descendant. And this is his whole life. And this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is the seventh generation, Enoch. And he lived only 365. So when Enoch was taken up to heaven, in his whole family, only Adam died. Right? So before Enoch was taken up, no one actually, according to Bible so far, we assume. Enoch, probably all the people have no idea about physical death. Right? Nobody knows about what kind of death. When Enoch was born, see here. Right? So when Enoch was taken up to heaven, only Adam, the very first father passed away. So at that time, you say you, when a person walk with God, you can escape death. To most of people, they have no idea, right? Because they never experienced death yet. Okay, and then we come to Lamech. and this is Noah. So, see, when Noah was born, who passed away? Who's still alive? Who? Many alive, right? You see here, Noah still alive. Yeah. Actually, Seth could be still alive. All right. So now is the point I want to point out for you to know. We know Enoch. He walked with God for 300 years, right? So he is a special. And his son Noah's Enoch's son Methuselah, right? So when he died, the flood come. So Enoch begot Methuselah at 65. So this son, basically, in his whole life, at least before his father was taken away, he witnessed how a person could walk with God. Right? So the son must know the best. Methuselah. Okay? So you can see that when Noah was born, Methuselah still alive. Only Enoch was taken up already. Right? So if we see Bible in chapter 6, verse 9. How come in the previous generation of Methuselah or Lamech, Bible doesn't describe about they walking with God? Because this person, Enoch, no, Noah, actually was the one, the appointed one. He is the one to build the ark. So, by God's will, he was born in this time, right? So, Bible describes Noah also walked with God. The description actually similar to what his great grandfather, Enoch did, right? So, how come Noah, he knows to walk with God? He is so special. So in verse 9, Noah was a just man, right? Noah was perfect in his generations and walked with God. So the whole world, only Noah found grace in God's eyes. We know so-called perfect, not say he has never done something wrong, no. But his heart remained integrity, pure, in front of God. So all things relate to our heart. When all the people are wicked, doing wrong things, sin against God, Noah, his heart grieved. He never just follow their steps. His heart always connect with God. Okay? So that's why God look at man's heart instead of the outer appearance. So keep our hearts. Be connected with God first. This is the key. And so perfect heart. Means relying on God wholeheartedly, submitting to God. Submitting. We have to submit ourselves to God. So this is a special person. And let's think about. He walked with God, just like Enoch did. He drew near to God, followed God's will in his whole life. Huh? So today, without obedience, there is no possibility to walk together. So he had to totally submit to God. So make himself able to walk with God. Okay? So God, that's why God protect him. God give him a way. And God instruct him what to do. And in chapter 6, verse 22, special mention, Noah follow all what God has commanded him. What God said, he just followed. Can we do it? You know, sometimes we select it. It's too hard. I cannot. But if we want to walk with God to the end, this lesson we have to learn. You know, somehow we will see how difficult when God gave Noah the instruction to build the ark. Have you ever considered how many obstacles or questions Noah may ask, or how many difficulties he had to overcome it? You know, sometimes you consider it too easy. When the earth was filled with the violence through all the men, right? And say, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This is what God proclaimed his judgment. I will destroy them all. So, in 1 John chapter 2, 17, indeed, the world and all that is in it will pass away. This is just temporary. So our desire, our enjoyment, if just on the earth, it will be gone one day, for sure. So what you have right now is temporary. The knowledge, the possession, everything, temporary. But do you believe? You see, I believe, but whether we really believe or not, it will manifest through our attitude and our life. Okay, some of us actually probably treat it as a reference only. So Noah received instruction from God to build an ark. God space talk to him, right? So ark is actually a rectangle box. This ark, the same word, later become the Ark of Covenant. Yue Gui. So this is a box, right? Remember, this is a box, rectangle. So far, all of the figure about the ark, just like a shape of sheep, is incorrect, actually. So see how God instructed Noah to build the ark. Material is a gopher wood, gopher mu. We don't know what kind of the exact material, but this must be very good, right? And this wood, the material with pitch, so they can make sure this water will not come in. The wood itself under the water for a long time will not rotten. So it's a cedar type of tree, rich in resin, and it's water resistant. The material actually God designed, God said, use what kind of material to build this box. Okay? And the structure, God, it's a box, but inside must have rooms, right? Rooms, one by one to build. It's a huge, 437 length, 73 width, and then 44 feet high. And then there's a window up on the top, and there's only one door at the side. Okay. So this is the ark. God just said, and then Noah had to do it. Okay. God gave him a blueprint, and then he start to build. He had to cut the wood, use exactly material, and then follow the structure. And this is the reference. It's how big, right? How big? Huh? So, this rectangle box. And this whole length, 437 feet. Okay? And this is 0.747. You see how big. And this is the wide, 73 feet wide. And this is the high. And is this a dinosaur? Elephant, no? This is a dinosaur, right? Elephant. And this is a giraffe, right? A dinosaur here. And you see how this is a length compared. So you know this is a huge structure to Noah. We really have no idea how he built it. Because today, if we want to just cut wood, you do need a tool, right? By your own hand, how can you do it? So God gave him this very, very difficult task. You can see only him received this instruction. It's so big. And you cannot just use one piece of wood, right? You have to cut a lot of trees to make it, and then connect it, use a pitch. You see how for Noah, at least his three sons joined together to build. That's why it takes time. And this is a modern model. But it's wrong, right? It would make it just like a shape of sheep, but actually it's rectangle. Inside it is a lump, make it lump, so three labels, right? Three labels. And then all have runes. And then they can see the door is on the side and on the top, the window, and air can go through. So this is a venting area, so air can come in. When water, when rain come down, the water will not accumulate on the top, so have to have some kind of how do you say, slide, right? So this is God's instruction to build. Okay. All right. So this ark, this instruction to build ark, actually, this is God's salvation for humankind. So you can see how special this ark is. God instruct Noah to build this ark. It's only one ark, right? And basically, Noah went out to preach. The reason why he built the ark. So the news must be spread to others also. We don't know how wide, how far the news can be delivered. But in that region, at least people know what Noah is doing. He is building a box, a big box, never saw before. Okay? So this is how God provides a way of life for those who are willing to believe before the judgment. So this is how God saved those who believe. It's special. You know, people probably use a doubting eyes to view what Noah is doing. But Noah had to continue to do it until it finished. So God actually made a covenant with Noah. God gave him as instruction, tell him what is going to happen and then how to survive. So the ark in this huge box. So to view this structure, this is a hard task, right? Without willing heart or steadfast faith in God, it would be impossible to complete. It seems like maybe it take about 120 years because we consider this is the grace period of time before the destruction. So God not only gives instruction, but also make with him the covenant. The covenant, this is the content. Just like a sign of contract. How to build it? Who will enter in? What to prepare for to survive in this ark? And then how to dip inside the ark? All right, so this covenant from chapter 6, verse 18 to 22. So actually, this covenant expresses the determination that God will save those who believe to the end. So if we obey God, then salvation is guaranteed. But if we doubt, then we will see the consequence. At that time, it will be too late. When we realize, yes, what God said is true. Because at that time, the door has been shut. So God's salvation and calling was irrevocable. So we have to really treasure this salvation. So who to enter? Who have to enter? Noah and his whole family, remember, his whole family, three sons and the wives, so total eight. So in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, all mention about this ark, the salvation in the Noah's time through flood. So God said, of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind, and shall be male and female. So one pair, right? This before and right, the instruction of building this ark, God already made a covenant with Noah. So he knows what he's supposed to do, and then for what? Who can come in? Okay, and how many will be in? So where did Noah's faith come from, that he believed wholeheartedly and for obey what God said? Not only that, he had to walk with God. In the corruptive generation, when everyone doesn't care about God, he cares so much. Right? And he just simple in mind, just do it. During this, you know, grace period of time, we believe God always with Noah to encourage him, because he definitely encountered a lot of difficulties, but God provides comfort. So from the previous chart, we see how his great-grandfather, Methuselah, might talk about the history, the story of his great-grandfather, Enoch, who walked with God. So in order to have faith, we do need to receive, to understand the history of previous generation. So when Noah, he realized, actually, his forefather, Enoch, right? What with God? Then he wanted to follow, imitate. So faith actually come from the previous generation, one after another. And then he actually did it very well. That's how we're supposed to do. So Psalm 71, verse 17 to 18. Let's read it. Psalm 71. So today, you may, the third generation, fourth, or even fifth generation of the faith. But if you continue, the generation after you, until Jesus returns, we don't know how many generations left will be, right? But make sure we can talk to the younger one about the story, our testimony, how we walk with God, how we transform ourselves, how we overcome all this temptation, right? So your experience here during the time here, it's very important. Let it be passed on to next generation. 71, verse 17 to 18. Sister Lydia, please read. Okay. So, oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and have I declare your wonderful works. Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not until I have shown your strength unto this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. Let's remember this verse. Noah built the ark according to the instruction from God. What are some challenges and obstacles that he had to overcome? Have you ever considered? If God instructs you to do something big, which you have never done before, it's a new thing, definitely you will have a lot of difficulty, right? Are you able to overcome it? Do you know how to overcome it? Rely on? Let's think about here. First, the sky never have rain yet, right? So this is totally new thing. Rain come down from heaven. What are you talking about? Right? Second, Noah was the only one that had this revelation. Because God instructed him solely, no any other human being knows what's going on. God just give this instruction and to Noah only. So just like an exclusive report, 独家新闻. Only he knows. No others special. The ark he needs to build was huge. Huge. He must have ability to do it. God knows he can do it. Right? Otherwise, God will not give him this task. Number four, you and your wife, your sons and your son's wife must enter. Only his family, not his relatives. His family, Noah has relatives, right? His wife also have relatives. His son's friends. How about his sons, his daughter-in-law's relatives? So many friends, so many relatives Noah may love. But God said, only you, your wife, your children, your children's wife, the great family, have to enter. Say, you know, someone may just have a question. How about the other person, my uncle, right? How about my beloved friend? This is what God said. Who will be in? Number five, he had to bring all the living creatures, birds in air, livestock, insects, into the ark. How? How to find? Where to find? Right? Right now, you can think about a lot of things. Number six, he had to labor diligently, storing all sorts of food. So he had to prepare. Animals were eating different things, right? You can see the food. What animal eat is different from what human food. So he had to prepare. He had an idea what kind of the grass the animal need. And have to store enough. This is a big task. Number seven, the work of building the ark was huge. How would he completed. He must manage his time, use his talent to design, to organize everything. Number eight, he didn't have any experience before. So no one can give him some suggestion or reference or become his assistant. He totally rely on God only because nobody have this kind of experience. Right? Solely rely on God. Ammonite, he never heard such a thing as a flood. No rain, how come it's a flood? Why is it so-called a flood? It's all new. Not all are new things to him, but he had to believe. This kind of obstacles, do we have faith to rely on God, to follow? So today, we also have a lot of difficulty in our life. I believe what we is going to face is not that difficult than Noah have to face. Noah can accomplish it. We also can do it. It depends on whether we believe God or not, or we want to obey or not only. Yeah, this is a matter of obedience. Okay? Hope we can have the same faith, be accepted by God. Let's pray in silence. Amen.